I'm on a roll.
Oh, I see that.
He smiled into my touch. So my point is that you're amazing, and I want to kiss you in a bar. I don't care if someone sees me and thinks, wow, that woman wants to be Mrs. Stella. How pathetic. Does she even know he bangs a different woman every night?
I don't.
But they don't know that. And the point is... I took a breath, putting my hand on his chest and staring into his amused eyes. I don't care what they think right now. I'm tired of caring what people think. I like you.
I like you too. Very much. In fact...
I leaned in and kissed him. It was a mess. Hands and hair and practically climbing into his lap right there in that stupid bar. But I didn't care. I didn't care. His hands moved to my face. And his eyes, when I peeked, were open and pleading. And something was there. Something I couldn't quite put my finger on.
Sweet Sarah,
he murmured around my wild kisses.
Baby steps. Let's get you home.
It was a good thing my head stopped pounding by Monday morning, because I had a lot of work to do. First up was the pricing strategy for the new Provocateur line. Second was handing over all of the B&T biotech workload to Samantha. Most definitely not on my list was obsessing over Max, and how the entire dynamic of our relationship had shifted in the last 36 hours. First, work. There was plenty of time to freak out later.
Or so I thought. Sarah,
George called, somehow managing to stretch my name into about 17 syllables. I stopped short just inside my office, dropping my laptop case on a chair and taking in the scene before me. George, in my desk chair with his feet up and a newspaper spread on his lap. Why are you at my desk?
Because I figured it was a better place to enjoy page 6 with you than in the break room. Are you ready?
My stomach dropped to my feet. Ready for what? I asked. It was 7:30 on a Monday, for crying out loud. I was barely ready for conscious breathing. George flipped the paper to face me, and in a giant picture, in black and white, was half of Max's face. The other half was covered by my head. Talk about deja vu. What is that?
A newspaper, darling,
George sang, rattling the paper in his hands. And the word darling triggered a tight pull in my abdomen. I'd been rolling that word around in my head for the past day, remembering how it had sounded when Max said it to me.
A picture of Max kissing, ooh, a mystery woman.
He turned it back around so he could read the caption to the photo.
Millionaire playboy Max Stella spotted out for a drink with a mystery blonde.
I am not blonde, I hissed. George looked up, giddy.
Thanks for confirming.
And I agree.
More of a Sandy Brown, really.
But let me finish. The pair started out the night with quiet smiles and teasing, and ended with some heated action in the corner booth. Looks like the flavor of the week is a tiger.
George cracked up, extending the page to me, his face growing serious.
You didn't have to lie about you and Max, boss. I'm wounded. It's not your business, I said, practically ripping the paper from his hands and looking it over. It was obviously Max in the photo, but with only the back of my head and part of my arm and hand visible, my identity would be almost impossible to discern by anyone who didn't already know me.
It's your allergy bracelet and your adorable hair, George crowed. How long? Not your business. Is he amazing in bed? He is, isn't he? Oh, God, don't tell me yet. Let me work up a good mental lather first.
He squeezed his eyes shut and hummed.
Not your business, I repeated, a hand to my forehead.
Holy hell. Bennett and Chloe were going to see this. My co-workers. Someone could send this to my parents. Oh, God.
Are you guys, like, a thing?
He asked, exasperated and slapping his hand to my desk.
Oh, my God. Not your business. Get out of my office, Skippy.
He stood, then gave me a dirty look that was about as genuine as a politician's smile. He looked more excited than anything else, maybe even a little turned on.
Fine, he grumbled, but you'd better spill every detail after you've had a chance to calm down. Not happening. Go. This really is great, by the way, he said, serious now. You deserve a hot guy. I stopped freaking out for a beat, looking up at him. He wasn't freaking. He wasn't assuming the worst. He was being a total pervert and enjoying every minute of my torment, but he was also assuming that I was happy and having fun and being a single woman in my 20s doing what we do. He was mirroring my thoughts on Saturday night. This man is good for you, Sarah. The same thoughts I'd tried so hard to hold on to. But somehow, in the light of day on a Monday, it was harder than I expected to be young and wild, and confident that I wasn't setting myself up for another disaster. Thanks, George.
You're welcome.
But Chloe is coming down the hall, so get your big girl panties on. In fact, she was closer than I expected and shoved my assistant playfully out of the way before walking into my office and slamming my door in his face.
Max?
I know.
The mystery guy is Max.
Chloe, I'm sorry I didn't... She stopped me, holding up a hand.
I asked you if it was Max.
You lied to me, very convincingly, and said no. I'm not sure whether I should be impressed or pissed.
Impressed?
I offered, giving her a winning smile.
Oh my God, don't be cute.
She walked over to my couch near the window and sat down.
Walk me through it.
I crossed the room and sat with her, taking a deep breath before telling her everything. About meeting Max at the club, how we hooked up. I told her about the Chinese restaurant and how I'd tried to tell him not to come looking for me again, but ended up letting him get me off. I admitted he was the man I'd been with at the fundraiser, and how she was the one who made me realize it could be a good distraction to explore this new, adventurous side of myself with a man who was practically a world expert on casual flings.
But it's more, she said, interrupting. In the past, what, 2 months?
It's become more.
For me, it has.
I think for him, too. Maybe.
BB saw the pictures this morning, she said, wincing. I freaked out, because I tried to hide it, but he saw the post outside the subway station.
Oh, no.
She smiled a little.
Honestly, he seemed more worried about my reaction. But he said he knows Max, and if he's promised he'll be with only you, he will.
Good thing, because if he hurts you, he'll be one appendage short, if you know what I mean.
That's not the problem, I said, which I realize is ironic because, I pointed to my chest,
hello, cheated on for 6 years straight.
What bothers me more is that I didn't want to want someone. This was supposed to be for me. And what if he likes me because I've been clear about what I don't want from him? I've given him a goal. Make me want him. I don't think he'd ever admit that. Maybe he'd never even realize it. But I worry that he's not used to someone setting limits with him. That might be the lure, the challenge.
She shrugged and spread her hands in front of her. I'm the first to tell you that there's a first time for everyone and everything.
Have you told him how you feel?
There was a crash from the outer office, followed by George's frantic shout of, incoming!
Max burst through the door, George hot on his heels.
Does he ever listen? George asked me.
Not usually,
Max answered, stopping short when he saw the paper already in my hands.
You've seen it.
Yep, I said, tossing it to the desk.
He crossed the room, his expression grim.
Look, it's not a very good picture, I doubt.
It's fine, I said, tucking my hair behind my ear.
I wouldn't say fine, Chloe interrupted, rounding the desk. She crossed her arms and stood between us. I'll agree it's not the best picture, but I knew it was you. Bennett, too.
As did I, George volunteered, hand raised.
Why are you even still here? I asked, glaring.
Go to work.
Touchy, George said, pushing away from the wall.
Well, well.
At the sound, every head in the room turned in the direction of the door.
Glad everyone could make it,
Bennett said as he walked in, looking like he'd won the biggest, most ridiculous man bet of all time.
Nice photo, Stella. A bar.
I felt my eyes go wide.
What, the 18th floor stairwell would be better?
His head whipped to Chloe.
Seriously, Chloe? You told her that?
Of course I did.
She waved him off with an impatient hand, and beside her, Max laughed.
You did that, Ben. Shagged your intern at work.
A few times, Chloe said in a stage whisper.
Max rubbed his palms together, obviously delighted by this turn of events.
How very, very interesting, he said, eyeing Bennett. Funny you didn't mention this when you were basically calling me a whore the other day.
Oh, that's rich. Pot, meet kettle, Chloe said, motioning between the two men.
And I'm done here, Bennett grumbled.
Max, stop by my office before you leave.
He gave Chloe a quick peck on the lips before walking out of my office. Chloe turned to Max.
I want to know what it's like to work with your mother when this kind of news hits the papers. Did she freak out?
Max shrugged.
She pretends I don't have an active libido. It's better that way.
What are we even talking about? I groaned. Chloe, I love you, but get out of my office.
George,
I yelled. He poked his head in within a few milliseconds of hearing his name.
Stop listening in. Take Chloe down to the break room and buy her some chocolate.
I finally met Max's eyes. I need to talk to Max alone. Chloe and George disappeared down the hall, and Max shut and locked my office door.
Are you livid? He asked, wincing.
What? No, I sighed, dropping into my chair. If I remember correctly, I jumped you. I believe you even warned me not to.
True,
he said, flashing his dimple in a smile as he lifted the photo up.
But I also come out of this looking quite good. I mean, the back of this head can only belong to a ridiculously fit woman.
I tried to bite back my laugh and failed. He bent so that we were eye to eye.
We're together a lot, Sarah. It's just a matter of time before we're photographed.
I nodded. I know. He straightened, looking out my window with a dramatic sigh.
I suppose we'll have to confine our snogs to bedrooms and limos now.
He said this with a smirk, but something twisted in my belly, and not because I was averse to the idea of Max in a bed. It's just that I wasn't done having Max everywhere else. I wanted to hold on to this new Sarah a little longer.
That doesn't look like a happy face,
he noted. I like what we do. His face fell the slightest bit.
The wildness of location?
I nodded. Just feeling like I could do anything I wanted with you. He paused, seemed to be thinking something through.
That doesn't have to change, Sarah, regardless of where I have my wicked way with you.
I smiled. I know.
But you realize if we continue that, and I'm not averse, it's possible we'll eventually be caught.
He was right, and the reality of it was enough to make my hopes shut down a little. We'll figure it out, I said, but even I heard my lack of conviction.
Sarah, it's possible to have fun even with more standard relationship rules.
I nodded and gave him as convincing a smile as I could manage.
I know.
But the truth was, I didn't know. I only knew that I didn't want what I had with Max to resemble any bit of the life I had before.
14. At 3 in the morning, I woke up with such an absurd idea, I was immediately positive I should go get a shot of whiskey so I could fall back asleep. But I didn't get up, and I didn't have a shot, and I most certainly didn't go back to sleep. I was up half the night, my mind spinning over what to do with Sarah's paradoxical need to remain a secret, yet still explore her wilder side with me. Admittedly, she'd been more relaxed than I expected about the photos in the post, but we'd been lucky, and they hadn't actually gotten her face or anything too telling. Anything more revealing could turn her skittish. I could tell she had feelings for me beyond the adventure of public orgasms and our shared exhibitionist fetish, but that was a far cry from anything lasting, and miles away from what I felt about her. I sat up, lit with an idea, and wondering if I'd be mad to try this with her. At the same time, it struck me as the perfect solution. Sarah clearly got off on the idea of being seen, on the idea of someone watching her orgasm. I wanted to show her that sex could be fun and wild and alive even in a relationship that grew into something deeper. and yet she wanted to remain anonymous, and I most certainly didn't want to end up with my trousers down, literally, on the subway or the movies or in a cab. Sarah had been quick to brush off the photos this time. My nagging worry was that she wouldn't be so forgiving if it happened again. I looked at the clock and knew it wasn't too early to call. If I knew him at all, Johnny French hadn't even gone to bed yet. The phone rang once before his gravel and smoke voice answered with a simple, "Max." "Mr. French, I hope it isn't too early." He let out a rumbling laugh. "Haven't gone to bed yet. What can I do for you?" I exhaled, relieved with the sudden realization that this might actually be the best solution. "I have a situation that I believe requires your help." When Sarah answered the phone, I could hear the smile in her voice. "It's a Wednesday," she said, "and not even 8 in the morning. I think I like these new rules." "I think we're kidding ourselves if we believe this is a rule-driven arrangement anymore," I said. It was a long moment before she answered, but finally she murmured, "I suppose you're right." "You're still okay about the post?" A small pause before, "Yeah, actually. I thought about you all day yesterday." Again she fell quiet, and I wondered if I'd gone too far, and then she said, "That's kind of been true for me for a while." I laughed, "Too right. Me too." Silence filled the line, and I braced myself for the possibility that she would say no to this. "Sarah, I think we should be a little more careful about where we choose to be intimate. Until now we've been careful, but mostly we've been lucky. I care more now that this doesn't become a scandal for us." "I know, me too. At the same time, I don't want to give it up either," she laughed. "Do you trust me?" "Of course, I've let you take me to a warehouse. I mean, really trust me, Sarah. I'm planning on taking you somewhere very different." This time there was no hesitation. "Yes." I figured a Wednesday was a good day to start. No doubt Johnny had customers every night of the week, but he warned me that Fridays and Saturdays might be overwhelming for both of us, and Wednesdays tended to be the quietest. I texted that I'd pick her up at her apartment after she'd had a chance to change after work and eat some dinner. Was I being a pussy for not taking her out to eat, for fear she might balk at this plan if she had too much time to think it over? Abso-fucking-lutely. A brunette emerged from Sarah's building, head down as she fumbled with something in her small bag. It had been true for a while that I had eyes only for Sarah, but even I was unable to look away. The woman wore a dark blouse, skirt, high heels. Her inky hair was glossy in the streetlight overhead and cut short just to the shin. She looked to the right and I saw a long, delicate neck, smooth skin and perfect breasts. I knew that neck, knew those curves. "Sarah?" I called. She turned and I felt my jaw drop. Holy shit. She smiled when she saw me leaning against the car. I waved Scotty off when he emerged to open the door for her and let her in myself. She placed a shiny red-tipped finger under my chin and closed my mouth. "I'm assuming you approve," she said, grinning as she took her seat. "That would be an understatement," I said as I climbed in next to her and reached out, brushing a strand of dark hair away from her face. "You look fucking beautiful." "It's great, right?" she asked, shaking her head a little. "Figured if we were going to be serious about this cloak and dagger stuff, I might as well have a little fun." She slipped off her shoes and tucked her feet under her legs on the back seat. "So, are you going to tell me what's going on?" As soon as I'd recovered, I leaned in and kissed her red mouth. "We have a little bit of a drive. I'm going to tell you everything." She trained her patient eyes on me, and I had to remind myself not to take her in the car, to work her up a little for this. Dark dance clubs were one thing, and she'd been drunk. This was something entirely different. One of my earlier clients was a man named Johnny French. I'm almost positive it's an alias. He strikes me as the kind of guy who has a few different names, if you know what I mean. He came to me for help with opening a nightclub in a pretty run-down building. He'd done it before, successfully, but wanted to explore how it would work with a venture capitalist firm attached that had more legitimate connections in the marketing world. "What was the club called?" "Silver," I told her, It's still open, and it does very well. In fact, we've made a good amount of money on the collaboration. Anyway, Johnny keeps his habits pretty tightly buttoned up, but in the process of our due diligence, he explained to us that he needed the larger successful business to support his smaller interests. Sarah shifted a little in her seat, seeming to understand that I was getting to the point of the evening. Johnny owns a number of other venues. He owns a cabaret in Brooklyn that's done very well. Beat Snap? I nodded, a little surprised. You've heard of it? Everyone's heard of it. Dieter Von Teese was there last month. We went with Julia. Right. And Johnny also has some less well-known ventures. The place we're going tonight is a very secretive and protected club called Red Moon. She shook her head. Even if Sarah had been born a New York native, I was fairly sure she wouldn't recognize the name. I reached into my jacket and pulled out a small bag from the inner pocket. Her eyes were trained on my hands as I undid its cord and pulled out a feathered blue mask. I leaned forward and placed it over her eyes, reaching around to tie it behind her head. And then I looked at her and almost lost my will to hold back from touching her. Her eyes were visible, but her face was covered from eyebrows to cheekbones, and her full red lips curved into a tiny smile under my scrutiny. Tiny rhinestones lined the eyes, and from behind the mask, her brown eyes seemed to glow. "Well, isn't this mysterious?" she whispered. I groaned. "You look like something out of a very wet dream." Her smile widened, and I continued. "Red Moon is a sex club." In the low light, I could see a shiver pass through her. Remembering one of our nights together, I assured her, "There are no shackles or spreader bars. At least they aren't the primary attraction. The club caters to a very high-end voyeuristic crowd. People who enjoy watching people have sex. I've only been there one time during this due diligence process, and I was sworn to absolute confidentiality. On the main floor, Johnny has some truly stunning dancers who are intimate in beautifully complicated, choreographed ways. The rest of the club has rooms where, through windows or mirrors, you can watch one thing or another." I cleared my throat and met her eyes. "Johnny has offered to let us play in a room tonight, if you want." To all outward appearances, it was a basic rundown building, housing assorted businesses, including an Italian restaurant, a hair salon, and a boarded-up Asian market. The only other time I'd visited, Johnny took me in through a back entrance. The door he told me to use tonight was apparently the main entrance, an unassuming battered steel door off the alley, and required the key he'd had messengered over to my office that afternoon. "How many people have a key?" I'd asked him on the phone. "Four," he told me. "You're five. It's how we keep track of who comes in. Random Joes can't get there. We have a list for each night. Guests phone Elizabeth at the desk, and she sends security up to retrieve them." He paused. "You're lucky you're my favorite, Max, or you'd be waiting months." "I appreciate it, John. And if it goes well tonight, I'm pretty sure you'll want to let me bring this one back every Wednesday." Pulling out the key and faced with the reality of what we were doing, I started to grow more and more excited. I led Sarah down the alley, her hand clammy in mine. "We can leave any time," I reminded her for the 10th time in as many minutes. "I'm excited, nervous," she assured me. "I'm not scared." Pulling my arm so that I would turn to her, she stretched up and slid her lips across mine, nipping and licking at me. "I'm so excited, I almost feel drunk." I gave her one last kiss and pulled away before I found myself fucking her in the alley, something Johnny promised would get me blacklisted for the rest of my days, and pushed the key into the lock. That's the other thing I meant to mention. Drinking. There is a 2-drink maximum. They want everything safe, consensual, and calm. I'm not sure I can promise the calm part. You have a way of making me a little insane. I gave her a grin. I think he means between patrons. I'm pretty sure there are some things happening tonight between the performers that will not be calm. When the door made a soft click, I pulled it open and we stepped inside. Per Johnny's instructions, We continued through a second door just 10 feet beyond that, then down the long flight of stairs leading to a freight elevator. The doors slid open immediately when we hit the down button, and after I entered the code he gave me into a lit keypad, we descended 2 more floors, deep into the belly of New York. I tried to explain to Sarah what she would see. Tables in a semicircle around an open floor, people socializing just as they do in any bar. But I knew that my explanation wouldn't do it justice. To be honest, I'd been so fascinated with this place when I visited with Johnny that only my ethics as a partner in his other businesses had kept me from exploring it further. As much as I'd wanted to return, I never had. But with Sarah becoming an undeniable part of my life, the possibility of her needing something like this and my new clawing desire to give her anything she wanted changed my mind about staying away. The elevator doors parted, and we stepped out into a small lobby area. Warm lighting filled the room, and a beautiful redhead sat behind a desk, working on a sleek black computer. "Mr. Stella," she said, standing to greet us. "Mr. French told me you would be here tonight. My name is Lisbeth." I nodded in greeting, and she waved for us to follow. "Please follow me." She turned and led us down a short hall, never questioning Sarah's mask or asking for a name. At a heavy steel door, she inserted a long skeleton key, swung the door open, and motioned us through with a sweep of her arm. "Please remember, Mr. Stella, we allow 2 drinks maximum, do not use names, and have security just outside of the roleplay rooms if you need any assistance." As if to emphasize her point, a very large man stepped up behind her. Lisbeth turned to Sarah and finally addressed her. "Are you here by choice?" Sarah nodded, but then said, "Absolutely," when Lisbeth seemed to want her to respond verbally. And then Lisbeth winked at us. "Have fun, you two. Johnny said on Wednesday nights, room 6 is yours for as long as you want it."
"For as long as we want it?"
I turned and led Sarah into the club, my mind reeling. I'd only seen a couple of the rooms on my last visit. Most of the night had been here, had been spent in the main bar, enjoying a whiskey and watching 2 women make love to music on the table next to me, while Johnny walked around and greeted his customers. We had gone down the hall to see a couple of rooms, but I felt strange viewing those things with a male business client. I'd claimed to be tired, and later had regretted not seeing what every room had to offer.
"What is room 6? Sarah asked, wrapping both hands around my upper arm as we walked into the bar.
"No idea," I admitted. "But if I remember correctly, I'm guessing Johnny gave it to us because it's at the end of the hall." The bar was a large open room with beautifully simple decor. Low warm light, tables for 2 or 4, and sofas, ottomans, and chaises, tastefully positioned throughout the room. Heavy velvet curtains were draped from the ceiling, and the walls were covered in rich black wallpaper that exhibited a shimmering, barely perceptible pattern in the winking candlelight. It was early. A few other patrons sat at tables, speaking in low voices and watching a woman and a man dance in the center of the room. As we walked to the bar, the man pulled her shirt over her head and used it to trap her arm and spin her across the floor. Jewels in her nipple rings glinted in the lights. Sarah watched the pair and then blinked away when I caught her looking. She tucked a lock of dark hair behind her ear in what I'd come to know as a nervous gesture, and I could imagine her blushing behind the mask.
"It's okay to watch here," I reminded her, my voice low. "When things get really interesting, you'll see that no one will be able to look away."
I ordered her a vodka gimlet and got a scotch for myself before leading her to a small table in the corner. I stared at her as she took it all in. She sipped her drink and took time to study everything around her. I wondered if she realized how much attention she'd attracted from the clientele. In her neck, I could see her pulse thrum. I stared at the pale skin, wanting to lean over and suck a mark into her. Shifting in my seat to adjust my trousers, I imagined what it would be like to make her come with my hand while the entire room watched.
"Fuck, Max. You're in deep."
"What are you thinking?" I asked her. She lifted her chin, indicating the dancers who kissed, moved away and then joined back together again.
"Are they going to have sex out here?"
"Most likely, of one form or another."
"So why do they have the rooms too?"
"Variety. If I remember correctly, the scenarios in the rooms tend to be wilder, and they're smaller, more intimate. She nodded, lifting her drink and taking a sip, studying me. No one here knows who I am, so I'm the one wearing a wig and a mask. Smiling, I pointed out, "Historically, you have been the one who wants to remain hidden. You would do this for me? Let people watch us together?" "I suspect I would do almost anything for you," I admitted. And then, unable to see in the dark corner how my words affected her, I added, "The thought is probably just as much a rush for me as it seems to be for you." She slid her hand onto my thigh under the table. "But people here know you. They know your face. There are people all over this room who are far more famous. That man in the corner is an American football player for some team Will is always going on about. And that woman?" I motioned subtly to a table near the bar. "Television." Sarah's eyes widened slightly as she recognized the Emmy Award-winning actress. "But they aren't considering having sex in room 6, she noted. "No, but they're here watching. No one will judge me for being here with you. And more important, everyone knows you don't fuck with Johnny French's confidentiality requirement. He has dirt on everyone here, or can find it." "Oh." "It stays in this room," I began, but she pressed a finger to my lips. "No names, stranger," she reminded me. I smiled, kissed her fingertip. "Nothing leaves this room, Petal." "I promise." "The first rule of Fight Club?" she asked, grinning. "Exactly." Lifting my drink to my lips, I took a sip, swallowed. "Tell me what else you're thinking." She leaned in to kiss me, but I pulled away. "Can I touch you out here?" I shook my head. "Unfortunately, that's another rule. No sexual contact by anyone but the performers." "What about in room 6? "Yes, you can there." "Damn." She shifted in her seat, watching the dancers for a bit. They'd shed their clothes by now, and the man steadied a harness that had been lowered from the ceiling so his partner could step into it. Once inside, her legs were spread wide, and an invisible pulley lifted her so her hips were level with her partner's head. He began to spin her in time with the music, walking in wide circles as she whipped around, head thrown back. "What time is it?" Sarah asked after a few minutes, not looking away from where the man had abruptly stopped the woman from spinning and pressed his open mouth between her legs. 9:45. She sighed, and I couldn't tell if she was as antsy as I was. The torture of the club was knowing that if I wanted to touch her, I could do it only where others could see us, use us for their need as much as we were using them for ours. I wanted more than anything to do to her what the man on the dance floor had begun doing to his partner. Tasting, teasing, fucking her with his fingers. As the man spun the woman away again, a waiter approached our table. "Good evening, sir." He poured water from a crystal pitcher, beginning near the glass then raising it above his head without altering the water's flow even a little. "The owner has mentioned you've been here, but your guest is new. Would you like me to tell you a bit about what you can expect?" "That would be smashing," I answered. He turned to Sarah. "The club changes the room decor every couple of weeks. Our goal is to keep things fresh for our clientele. You'll find a variety of scenes going on as you walk down to the rooms." I glanced to Sarah and wondered how, beneath the mask, this sweet Midwestern girl was taking all of this in. The host continued. "Shows begin at 10 and go until midnight. I'm told your room is 6. Given that this is your first event, you should feel welcome to watch the other exhibits for a bit before deciding whether you would like to participate." He smiled. "I'm also told the owner would very much like to add something a bit more intimate and sincere to the regular rotation. We've never had an exhibiting couple who looks at each other the way you do." I felt my eyes go wide, and beside me Sarah shifted closer. I could feel the warmth of her thigh against mine. I was truly on the verge of exploding with my need to feel her. The waiter bowed slightly. "But please, do not feel any pressure." At 10, the lights in the hallway illuminated a warm gold. Other patrons around the main room shifted, finished their drinks, stood slowly. But Sarah grabbed my hand and jerked me out of the chair. The hall was at least 20 feet wide, with seats and tables near the windows looking in on the rooms. In room one, the first room on the left, a young, muscular man stood in the corner wearing jeans and no shirt. On the floor, on all fours, was another dark-haired man with a horsetail extending from an anal plug. The man standing in the corner lifted a whip and cracked it loudly in the air. Sarah's hand flew to her mouth as I pulled her father down the hall, murmuring, "Pony play, darling, not for everyone." Room two had a beautiful woman, alone and naked on the couch, just beginning to masturbate to pornography being projected across the expansive wall opposite her. Room three had an enormous pale man in the tragic Melpomene mask, preparing to take a gagged woman from behind. Beside me, I could sense Sarah grow more tense. "This looks," she gestured vaguely to the strangely fascinating scene. "Adventurous?" I suggested. "You have to understand that people pay a lot of money to come here. They don't want to see things they can see on the telly." I put my hand to the small of her back and reminded her, "Another thing you can't see on the telly is real intimacy." She looked up at me and then her attention dropped to my mouth. "Do you think we're really intimate?" "Do you?" She nodded. "When did that happen? When has it been anything other than intimate? You just wanted to ignore it." She blinked away, but leaned into my side, and we started walking again. Room four had three women, kissing and laughing as they undressed each other on a gigantic white bed. Room five had a man binding a woman up with rope, while a bound and gagged cuckolded man watched from the corner. "We're going to be boring," she whispered, eyes wide. "You really think so?" She didn't answer because we'd arrived at room six, which stood empty. Without even looking to me, she slipped around the end of the hall to where we could enter the rooms from the rear. The door handle to six turned easily, and Sarah stepped inside. After a few moments, our eyes adjusted, and I could make out a bar in the corner and a huge leather couch with a low coffee table in front. Even in the darkness, the room felt very much like a corner of my own living room, and I suspected with a jolt that it was a replica of that space. Without thinking to ask Sarah first, I flipped on the light. I was right. Cream walls with deep walnut trim, a wide black couch, and the same plush area rug I had picked up in Dubai. Tiffany lamps decorated the two small end tables. The room was far smaller than my living room, which I used for large events, but the similarity was undeniable. The giant window through which people could observe us was framed by drapes, just like those at my flat, but from where we stood, it just looked like a window looking out upon a blank darkness. Johnny had been to my house only once, but in a single afternoon he'd transformed a room in his club for me, no doubt assuming it would be familiar to us both, maybe put us at ease. He would have no idea that Sarah had never actually been to my flat. "What's wrong?" she asked, walking closer and realizing she could touch me in here, wrapping her arms around my waist. "He's made a replica of my living room for us." That's... She looked around, eyes wide. "That's crazy." "What's crazy is that this is the first time you're seeing my house, from inside a sex club." The absurdity of it all seemed to hit us both at the same time, and Sarah dissolved into giggles, pressing her face into my chest. "This is the weirdest thing anyone has ever done. Ever. We can go." "No, this is the first place we'll have sex where we're supposed to," she said, grinning. "You think I'm gonna pass that up?" Fuck. The woman could ask me to kneel and kiss her toes, and I would do it. I almost said it. "I love you." The words got so close to escaping that I literally turned away from her and walked over to the bar to fix myself a drink. But she followed me. "And it's probably late to be asking this, but what are we doing here?" "I believe we're trying to find a way to enjoy this aspect of our relationship without jeopardizing our careers or getting our faces plastered all over Perez Hilton." I lifted the bottle of scotch, silently offering. She shook her head, eyes wide beneath her mask, as she watched me pour myself a drink. "Three fingers," she whispered, and I heard her smile in her voice. "Just one for now." She stepped close after I took a sip, and stretched to kiss me,
sucking on my tongue. Fuck, she tasted good. The feathers of her mask brushed against my cheek. Three, she insisted. As she kissed down my neck and spread her hand over the front of my trousers, palming me, I looked over her shoulder at the dark window. Out there, customers might already be sitting and watching, curious about what would happen. Or maybe we were all alone here at the end of the hall. But the idea that we weren't, the sheer possibility that others could see how she touched me. For the first time, I understood how being out in plain sight with me had allowed Sarah to be whoever she wanted to be. She could play. She could be wild and adventurous and take risks. And so could I. Here, I could be the man who was desperately in love for the first time in my life. "Do you really want to fool around here?" I asked, wincing internally at my own bluntness. But she nodded. "I'm just nervous, which is slightly insane considering our history." She laughed and reached out to lightly scratch my abdomen. Fuck. I'd never felt such a tormenting mix of protectiveness, worship, and a blinding need to completely own someone physically. She was so beautiful, so bloody trusting. All fucking mine. I bent down, kissed her jaw, and slipped the top few buttons on her shirt free. What do you imagine when you think we're being watched? She hesitated, toying with the hem of my shirt. I imagine someone seeing your face and how you look at me. Yeah, I socked on her neck. What else? I imagine a woman who wants to be with you, seeing you with me, seeing you wanting me. I hummed against her skin, pushing her shirt off her shoulders and reaching around to remove her bra. More. When I kissed her neck, I could feel her swallow against my lips. Her voice came out quieter when she admitted, "I imagine some faceless person who saw Andy treat me badly. I imagine the woman he was caught with seeing how you look at me." There it is. And? And him. I imagine him seeing how happy I am now. She shook her head, digging her fists into my shirt and pulling me close as if I'd pull away. I don't think I'll always hold on to it, but I hate that I still feel so much anger. Leaning back, she looked up at me. "But you make me feel amazing, and wanted, and yes, part of me still wishes to rub that in his face." I couldn't hold back my grin. I fucking loved the idea of that bastard seeing me fuck Sarah senseless, because the biggest mistake of his life, his infidelity, had given me the best part of mine. "Me too. I'd love him to see how you look when you're coming, since I bet he didn't really manage to see that much," she laughed, licking up my throat. "No." And fuck, for the first time in my life, I wanted to be someone's only. I led her to the couch, then kneeled on the floor between her legs. Her hands laced into my hair. "What do you want me to do?" she whispered, looking down at me, always so willing to give me anything. What do I want? I struggled to find the right answer, suddenly more than a little overwhelmed with the enormity of that question. "You over me, you under me, your laugh in my ears, your voice in my chest, your wet on my fingers, your taste on my tongue. I think I want to know you feel the way I do." "I just want you to enjoy this tonight." I leaned forward, pressing my mouth between her legs. She smelled dizzying, tasted too good, looked too beautiful. Sarah's sounds were quiet and aching, and seemed to be tailored entirely for my ear. Her fingers ran over my head, scratching my scalp lightly before she let go and pulled her leg higher, spreading wider, giving me better access. She didn't move with exaggerated sexuality. She was slow and calm, and easily the most accidentally sensual being in history. And as I focused on making her feel good, I imagined how she looked from outside this room, with my fingers in her, and my mouth devouring her, and her back arching up from the couch. I was so used to seeing her with a mask now that it wasn't jarring or distancing. The way she looked at me from behind it made me feel like I'd just been given the entire world. The silky black wig framed her face, made her skin paler,
her lips redder. Those same lips parted as she began to beg quietly, instructing me to move faster, to not stop sucking on her, to fuck her harder with my fingers. As she began to fall, her hand moved up to her torso, over her breast, and up her neck to her face, where she slipped her mask off, exposing the last bit of her skin that had been covered. Her huge brown eyes were trained on my face, her lips still parted in a quiet pant. When she came, she never once looked away, never once even blinked her attention to the windows behind me. Someone was on the other side of that glass, I could feel it. But I don't think we could have been any more alone in this room, even if we really were at my flat. Nothing in this world existed other than the way she pressed into my mouth, crying out when she came. Then she sighed, tugged on my hair, and laughed. Holy shit. So maybe if I ever met this Andy twat, I wouldn't actually punch his smug face after all. Maybe I'd shake his hand for messing things up with Sarah so epically that she moved to New York and stopped being the woman who did what she was supposed to do, and started to be the woman who did what she bloody well wanted. I kissed my way up her torso, let her suck her taste from my mouth, my tongue, my jaw. Beneath me she was warm and slow, her arms curled lazily around me, her laugh faded into my neck. "I think that was the most fun I've ever had," she whispered. And I suspected I'd do almost anything to spend the rest of my life making this woman happy.
XV. I knew it wouldn't be good to have every night of the week filled with Max, because it would shatter my ability to think about anything else. On my morning run, I thought back on what we'd done together and came up with some of the wildest fantasies I'd ever had in my life. Crawling under Max's desk and sucking him off while he spoke on the phone, or having him in the elevator on the way up to his apartment. It was fun to finally let myself indulge in these sorts of daydreams, and I was starting not to care that he disrupted so much of my structured life. And after what he did for me at the club, I was beginning to realize I'd walk across flaming coals for the man. I'd been nervous, no doubt. The club felt darkly indulgent and was supported by patrons who'd been thinking about this kind of sexual fantasy maybe longer than I'd been alive. I wasn't sure if there were unspoken rules I was meant to follow. Don't speak too loudly. Don't cross your legs. Don't look anyone in the eye. Don't drink your cocktail too fast. My parents were so wholly innocent next to this world. Their idea of a wild night out was seeing the vagina monologues and dinner at some trendy Asian fusion restaurant. To this day, my father considered sushi just a little too adventurous for him. And here I was, walking into a secret sex club, and on my first night there, letting Max go down on me where anyone present could watch. I had no idea, in the end, if anyone had in fact been watching. We left through the back door to the room, where Max's friend Johnny met us and let us leave through a service entrance. Max watched me carefully the rest of the night, like he was wondering if I was ready to bolt or break down. But in reality, I was shaking so hard because everything about it had felt right. Max had been on his knees, between my legs, and had refused to let me reciprocate. Instead, he kissed me for long minutes, helped me dress, and gave me a look so pregnant with meaning that goosebumps spread across my skin. It was one thing to play in a library, but compared to the club last night, that felt tame. And on the way home after, with Max's hand on my knee and his lips on my neck, my ears, my mouth, and finally, his body over and inside me, completely wild on the back seat, I realized how crazy my life had become. Crazy good. Crazy amazing. It'd been so long since I'd been infatuated like this that I had forgotten how fun it was. "You're swooning," George said Thursday morning as I approached his desk. He stuck the end of his pen back between his teeth, murmuring around it. "You're thinking about your Max." How the hell did he know that? Was I grinning like an idiot? "What?" "You like him." I gave up. "I do," I admitted.
I saw how he looked at you when he came in here Monday. He'd let you carry his balls around in your pocket. Grimacing, I opened my office door. I'd rather they stay where they are, but thanks for the idea. He was here this morning, George offered casually. I froze, halfway into my office, waiting. Seemed sad to have missed you, but I told him you're kind of a bear in the morning before you finished your 17 cups of coffee, and rarely get in before 8. Thanks, I grumbled. No problem. He sat up and pulled an envelope off his desk. He left this. I took the envelope into my office to read. Max's handwriting was tiny, scribbly. Sarah, I'm leaving Friday morning for San Francisco for a week for a conference. Might I see you tonight? Max. Lifting my phone, I swiped my thumb across the screen and pressed his name. He answered after only half a ring.
Are you still in bear mode?
I laughed. No, I'm at Cup 16.
Your assistant is a character. We had quite a lovely chat about you. I'm pleased to know he's unlikely to be hitting on you while I'm away.
I think he's more of a Max fanboy, if you want the truth. If you had any inclinations to play for the other team, you might never be able to get rid of him.
I heard that, George called from his desk.
Then stop eavesdropping, I yelled back, and then smiled into the phone. And yes, I'm free tonight.
Where?
I hesitated only a beat before offering. My place? The line went quiet. I heard the smile in Max's voice when he finally growled.
For a bed?
Yeah. My hands were shaking. Hell, everything had changed last night. The idea of being with Max in a bed felt like the wildest adventure yet. I almost wondered if we would survive it.
Meet you there at 8? I have a late call with the West Coast.
Perfect. I changed my outfit 3 times before 8. Casual? Sexy. Casual? Sexy? Before finally changing back into the outfit I'd worn to work. I straightened my bed, dusted my entire apartment, and brushed my teeth twice. I had no idea what I was doing, and was pretty sure I hadn't been this nervous on the night I'd actually lost my virginity. I was still shaking when he knocked at my door. He'd never seen my place, but when he walked in, he barely looked around. His hands went to my face, and he pushed me back against the wall, mouth firm on mine, opening, sucking on my lips and tongue. There was nothing gentle about the way he kissed me. It was hard and desperate, hands gripping shoulders and pulling ineffectually at clothes that just seemed to be in the way, lips that almost felt bruised with how real it all was. He had a messenger bag slung across his chest, and it slid forward, hitting the wall with a heavy thump.
I'm losing my fucking mind, he said into my mouth. Losing my fucking brain, Sarah. Where's your bedroom?
I walked backward, pulling him and his wild kisses down the short hall with me. I only had my bedside lamp on, and it cast a small cone of warm yellow light around the space. White walls, big bed, giant windows, all within a minuscule floor plan. He laughed, looking around and letting his hands drop from my face.
Your flat is tiny.
I know. Slipping his bag over his head, he dropped it onto my bed.
Why? You could afford more.
I shrugged, mesmerized by the way his pulse hammered in his throat. Why were we talking about the size of my apartment? I wanted to know what was in the bag. He only ever carried his wallet, phone, and a house key. I don't need more right now. His eyes moved to mine and he nodded once, lips tilting in a half smile.
You're a complicated woman, Sarah Dillon.
Sometimes, after I went for a long run, I was so high afterward that I couldn't do anything but go back out and run some more. I would have so much energy in my blood I couldn't stand to be still. I felt like that now. Max, I held up my hand to show him how much it was shaking. I don't know what to do right now.
Undress for me.
He dug into his bag and pulled out a huge, fancy camera.
I want pictures of everything tonight,
he said, gazing at me through the lens. The sound of the shutter set my heart racing inside my chest. I felt dizzy,
lightheaded. Including our faces? I said quietly.
Yeah, he said, voice hoarse. Exactly.
I looked down at my clothes. Ivory silk shirt with small pearl buttons and a straight black skirt. Undress for me. I liked having a task to focus on. The weight of last night still pressed on my heart, and the sight of him in my bedroom almost broke me. I lifted my hands to the top button of my blouse. My fingers still shook. It was different like this, in my apartment with no one but his camera to witness. What was I showing him tonight? My body? Or everything beneath my skin? My heart and fears and wild, thrumming longing for him? I heard the click of the shutter followed by Max's deep voice. The way you seem nervous makes me think you don't know that I'm in love with you. I looked up at him, eyes wide and hands frozen. Click. I love you, Petal. I've known it for a while now, but everything changed for me last night. I nodded, feeling dizzy. Okay. He bit his lip and then released it to give me a wicked grin.
Okay.
Yeah. I returned to my buttons, slipping each one free at a time. I fought the world's most enormous smile. Click. You have nothing to say but okay, he asked, looking up from behind the camera.
I tell you I love you, and I don't even get a thanks or how lovely.
I let the shirt fall to the floor and turned my back to him, reaching behind me to unhook my bra. Click. And dropping it. Click, click. I unzipped my skirt, and it joined the other items on the floor as I turned back to face him. I love you, too. Click. But I'm terrified. He lowered the camera, eyes on me. I didn't want to fall in love with you, I said. He took a step closer.
If it makes you feel any better, you put up a very impressive fight.
He didn't put the camera down when he stepped forward again to kiss me. He just moved his hand to the side and cupped my face with the other, pressing his mouth to mine.
I'm scared too, Sarah. I'm scared I'm your rebound. I'm scared we'll cock it up somehow. I'm scared you'll tire of me. But the thing is, he said, smiling, I don't want anyone else. You've rather ruined me for other women.
He must have taken hundreds of pictures of me as I finished undressing, climbed back on the bed, watched him prowl over me and tell me more of how he felt. Distracted, insatiable, like he could thank Andy, then kill him, like he was sincerely worried he wouldn't ever be able to get enough of me. Every reaction I had, he captured, obsessed over. Hovering above me, he trained the camera on my torso, where his body brushed against mine. I closed my eyes, lost in the way he felt and in the soft sounds of the camera clicking. When I opened them again, my eyes met his. I reached out, angling the camera toward my neck. He took the shot, letting me lead as I positioned it higher and higher still. He looked at me through the lens. His hands shook as he adjusted the focus, taking shot after shot of my face, of his fingers tracing my jaw or cupping my cheek, as he held the camera away to capture us kissing. And then everything in the moment became about the feeling of his mouth on me, and the feeling of his hair in my hands, his tongue moving over me, his lips pressing words into my skin. I felt every breath he took and every small sound he made. I could feel his mouth get hungrier and more urgent as he moved down my body. Slowly, he pressed two fingers inside me and sucked on my clit in earnest, pushing me to come. I stayed quiet. I didn't want to hear my voice in my head. I wanted to only feel him.
You're beautiful,
he whispered when I'd given up and cried out, when I'd finally stilled and he'd crawled over me, kissing me deeply.
It's staggering how it affects me.
I reached up and dragged my nails down his chest, urging him to use my body to get what he needed this time, to feel everything he possibly could. My hands moved on their own accord,
roaming and scratching, pulling him closer and pushing him back so I could see him when he reached between us to position himself against me.